أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. We move on to the 15th juz of the Quran, which commences with Surah Bani Israel. The chapter is named after the Israelites, the children of Israel. And another name for the surah is Surah Al-Isra. Al-Isra refers to the night journey that was undertaken by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the permission and the command of Allah, the miraculous journey of Al-Isra. This chapter, this surah, is a Makki surah. It was revealed at the latter part of the Meccan period. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained in Makkah al-Mukarramah for 13 years after prophethood. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Makkah al-Mukarramah when he was around 53 years old and proceeded towards Madinah al-Munawwarah. So during the latter part of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Meccan life, this chapter of the Quran was revealed. Some ulama and some mufassireen and scholars of hadith and certain sahaba radiallahu ta'ala who maintained the view that it was revealed approximately a year before Hijrah. And a year before Hijrah, that is when the conditions in Makkah al-Mukarramah were the most hostile. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba had now reached a very difficult period in their lives. The background towards the revelation of this chapter and the background towards the journey of Al-Isra is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with the believers, they were expelled and they were sent to a certain valley in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and they were under siege. No one was allowed to leave that area of Makkah al-Mukarramah. It was an area surrounded by mountains known as the Valley of Abu Talib. And they were sieged over there, and they were not allowed to trade with anyone outside of that region. Nobody was allowed to visit them or trade with them. All food supplies and all other supplies were cut off from them for 3 long years. 3 long years they were boycotted, and they were sent to that region. During that period, the Sahaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his wife Khadija, and of course his two daughters, all of them suffered greatly, to a great extent. You can understand, physically, emotionally, mentally, they had been suffering. And when they were eventually released from that region and from that area, not too long after that, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala had passed away. And then 6 months later, Abu Talib had passed away. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was his pillar of support in his personal life. He lost Abu Talib, who was his pillar of support in his public life. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided that it's time for him to look elsewhere in terms of conveying the message of Islam, because he realized that now the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah were not going to accept Islam, and that their hostility and the antagonism only increased against the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once Abu Talib was out of the equation. Because Abu Talib, he stood between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his enemy, and now that he was no longer there, they became more bold and they became more aggressive towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves Makkah al-Mukarramah, he goes to Taif, and we all know what happens in Taif. He suffers at the hands of the people of Taif. He went there with the hope that way they will perhaps embrace Islam and accept his message and embrace him. But he was physically abused to the point where blood was flowing down his body. And now he comes back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. As he arrives in towards Makkah al-Mukarramah, he is told that he is no longer allowed to enter Makkah al-Mukarramah. So can you imagine Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He is going through all these many challenges in his life. He's really all the way down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has really tested him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has really brought about these situations in his life in order to prepare him for what was to come. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to take Rasulullah s.a.w. on this journey. It was such an amazing and a miraculous journey. It is a mu'jiza, a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the fact that it was a form of consolement and sympathy and support for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fact that Allah chose such a unique and such a miraculous journey and such a miraculous gift to bring joy to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can imagine at what point he must have reached in terms of his pain and grief and suffering. Because the consolement and the sympathy that you offer is in proportion to the suffering. The greater the suffering, the greater the message of support, the greater the message of sympathy, the greater the expression of condolence. So if this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's form, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way of consoling and comforting the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by taking him up all the way right up to meet Allah, you can only imagine how far down Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pressed. It's like a spring. You know, one alim explained it very well. He says, the spring, the lower and the more you press it down, the higher the release. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pressed all the way down and tested like no other person was tested, and that's why when the release came, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken up all the way to the seventh heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences and he starts by praising himself for allowing this journey to take place. So can you imagine how miraculous, how great, how amazing this journey was that Allah praises himself for allowing it to happen. Subhanalladhi, Allah says, pure is the one, asra bi'abdihi, who allowed his servant to travel at night. Laylan. Laylan means a portion of the night. The journey did not even take an entire night. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam toured Jannah. He toured Jahannam. He met with Allah. He met with Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. The initial part of the journey, the first leg of the journey, was from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa. All of this had taken place in a portion of the night. Allah says, Laylan, a portion of the night. Min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only speaks of the first leg of the journey. From al-Masjid al-Haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Makkah al-Mukarramah, ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa, all the way to al-Masjid al-Aqsa in the land of Palestine. Al-Masjid al-Aqsa is given this name. Al-Aqsa means the Masjid of the furthest part. The furthest point, the furthest part, Al-Aqsa, that's what Al-Aqsa means. Why was it given this name, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the Masjid of the furthest part or the furthest land, is because from Al-Masjid Al-Haram, this was the Masjid that was furthest from it. So that's why it was given this title. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks over here of the Isra. So this is called Isra. The Mi'raj is the second leg of the journey. So there's two legs, it's two parts of the journey. Al-Isra and then Al-Mi'raj. Al-Mi'raj was the ascension. That's where the ascension took place from Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa right up to Sidratul Muntaha and beyond. That part of the journey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it in Surah An-Najm. In Surah An-Najm, the 27th juz of the Quran, Allah speaks of that part of the journey. Over here, Allah only speaks of the first leg, which is known as Al-Isra. So Allah says about the Masjid Al-Aqsa, Allah says, "Alladhi barakna hawla." Allah says, Masjid Al-Aqsa is that masjid and that piece of land, the precincts of which, around which we have blessed. It's a blessed land, the land of Sham. The land of Sham, where there's so much troubling happening right now, the land of Sham extends all the way from Syria, right up to Palestine, the land of Palestine. Okay, all of that, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Palestine, all of that falls within the precincts of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Allah said that's a Mubarak land. That's a blessed land. Allah has placed a lot of barakah in that land. There are thousands of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam that are buried in that land. And that land has always been of great significance and importance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said even that the mahshar, resurrection, will take place in the land of Asham. Why? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this journey to happen? And Allah says, linuriyahu, to impress him. It was all done to impress, as a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes we do certain things to impress people in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has allowed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to undertake this journey. Li comes to denote the purpose behind an act. That's linuriyahu. Why was the act performed? So the li is used to denote the objective and the purpose behind the act. It's known as lamu ta'lil, the lam of cause. The lam that denotes the reason. Allah says this whole journey was undertaken. What's the objective, the purpose behind it? Linuriyahu min ayatina. We wanted to show him our signs. We wanted to show Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam signs and to impress the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Innahu huwa as-sami'ul basir. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-hearing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-seeing. May Allah grant us understanding.